When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL off-season ship posting podcast. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
I mean, there's a couple. Primarily, everyone knows that we draw a lot of our content from our Reddit personas. I'd say yours is normally a fairly even-keeled persona, not generally too emotive.
Yeah, fairly.
But you got smashed in the last one for... suggesting GWS should fold.
Yep, I believe they should too. I got a text message early, when was it? Wednesday morning, from Benny the Tosser, saying that Lockie Tiziani had been delisted, and I said, well, fuck you can fold. That club should fold for delisting Lockie Tiziani. There's no need for that. Hadn't even got a game.
Yeah, my Reddit account has one post, already shadow banned in our sports.
That was your only post for that reason?
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's a fact that any team that's gotten rid of a North Broken Hill player hasn't got a premiership since.
Let's think about it. Yeah, probably. I mean, there's not many premierships that got around. But how long have we been championing Lockie Tiziani? It's got to be at least 3 years.
Yeah, I think it is actually 3 years.
Yeah. The year before he was drafted, the year he got drafted, and the 2 years since.
So. Still haven't seen him play yet.
No.
Like at any level.
No. I've seen a couple of highlights, I think, of the under-18s.
Well, that puts us in charge of the draft, really. So that's about as much as the draft gets.
I tipped him to go top 10 in the first draft where he didn't get picked up at all. But yep. I certainly nominated him to go top 10 anyway.
Yeah. But it was a highlight just seeing you get a bit of a caning, because normally I'm the one shooting my mouth off while I'm drunk. But
fun. I meant every word of it, too.
But it is funny how some people just lose the plot.
Yeah, and some people just don't know when one is being serious and one is not.
Some people just really fucking hate Lockie Tiziani. I don't know.
That's those fucking Southies.
I had never considered that. I had not considered that at all.
They've nicked fucking laptops and jumped on.
Yeah. So, Brenton, you got a highlight from the week past?
Yeah, there's probably a couple of things. One little tidbit. I found it funny that... on Saturday during the Sheffield Shield game. Who was it? Not Shane Watson. Who's the other?
Warner.
It wasn't Warner. He's not playing Sheffield. Who's the other blonde opener used to have? Cameron White. Not
Cameron White.
Yeah. Requested for a Cox plate replay in between overs.
Did he really?
So they chucked it up on the big screen at MCG in between overs to put it on there.
Fair enough. Bugger all people at Sheffield anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm not surprised he requested it. I'm just surprised they had somebody on hand.
Yeah.
Like, they turned on the big screens for Sheffield Shield?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but, I mean, most of those are probably more interested in the horse racing than what's going on the field anyway.
Definitely, definitely.
The other thing was a bit of action in UFC and, sort of... other organisations. A bit of a trade-off, which isn't really a trade, but somehow has worked out.
Don't know how organisations can do trades, but anyway.
Yeah, well, the UFC have agreed to drop Demetrius Johnson, who's arguably one of the pound-for-pound best in the world. And
of all time.
Yeah. And one have agreed to drop Ben Askren or release them from the contracts so they can swap and jump ship. But the only thing is, there's no contractual obligation for DJ to go to one after he gets dropped by UFC. However, he has done that. But I found it interesting that you're just going to put faith in people that you've fucked over for a while to actually do what you want them to do.
It's a very, very weird situation. I mean, Demetrius Johnson has lost one fight in 10 years.
Yeah.
About that. And they're going, nah, I can fuck you. I'm sick of you.
The funny thing for that is that Dana White came out and said, well, Demetrius Johnson wasn't really respected by fans. Like, mate, you fucking set the tone.
Well, but he bases that purely on buy rates and all that kind of shit, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. But,
But you also,
I like watching him fight.
Yeah, and you got to push a fighter sometimes. And I don't think DJ ever really got that push.
No. Well, I mean, he was...
You have a UFC marketing department for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I just think he didn't really toe the line of what Dana wanted for that company. He didn't, like, turn in the fight against TJ, turn down a rematch against Cruz. So, yeah, he just wanted to break Anderson's record at flyweight and then move up. Dana was like, well, not going to happen.
Yeah, I want the bigger paydays now. If I go and get them from you, I'm getting from someone else.
Yeah, exactly, especially with GSP coming back now.
By the looks of it, GSP versus Khabib.
Khabib, it's going to be a great fight. Great fight.
Yeah, Johnny Bones coming back end of the year, too. Against Gustafsson.
Very soon, isn't it? Yeah. And then you've got the Amanda Nunes and Cyborg.
Yeah, and DC. And,
on the same card.
And geez, my Derek balls Lewis. Are hot Lewis.
Okay.
Wada's going to be fucking busy for that fight card.
Out of all the fights they could have had for the heavyweight division, that one. I mean, I know he's ranked number two, but...
It's a thin division.
It's a division that only goes to one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're looking at cross-promotion rankings, I think Ryan Bader is number two. So that goes to say how much is going on in the heavyweight division.
Yeah. Well, he's got a fight against Fedor coming up, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Fedor looked pretty decent in his fight against, I mean, it was Chael.
Chael at heavyweight.
Yeah. Yeah.
That rollover move is still shitting me off. But you talked about... I'm going to backpedal here. Cameron White earlier in cricket. Hear what happened with David Warner?
Oh, I did read something about that. I've almost filtered out cricket news for the last, I don't know, year.
You know how David Warner doesn't mind a sledge or two? He caught one, but it was from Phil Hughes' brother.
Yep, playing for Randwick he was.
Yeah, and it was one of those ones that apparently stung a bit. And he's like, he had a moment of clarity where he goes, all right, I can give it back to the bloke whose fucking brother died playing cricket. Or I can just walk. And he walked. He's playing do-nothing cricket.
Yeah.
So he's just gone, nah, fuck
I'm
going to
walk
I'm
off. Unlike your brother.
That would be a bit rough.
It could have been what he said. You never know.
Apparently he said, you're a disgrace and you shouldn't be playing cricket at any level. And
right.
Maybe Davey thought, all right, yeah, I think you're right. And he walked off.
Yeah.
Well, he did come back and scored 157, but...
Well, it was the best thing he could have done at the time, because you're not winning... a sledging comp with that bloke.
I think
with that history.
By all reports, I reckon he did the right thing too. He just went, you know what, this is not going to get any better. I just might remove himself from the situation.
Unusual amount of forethought from that bloke.
What I did find amusing though was I think his wife was on one of the morning shows up there talking about it, and she said, you know, it's really, we shouldn't be having this. We should be talking more. Not about the incident, but more about the 150 he scored. I'm like, this is grade cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's talking about anything that people scored.
No, no one's talking about who kicked 10 goals in C grade.
No, exactly. It just doesn't matter at all. But anyway, there has been a bit of news in the AFL in the last week or so. I did find it interesting Saturday night that they released round one.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yep. I don't know what the plan was.
Maybe they were holding off till Monday, but someone just sent the email early. I don't know.
Well, round two got leaked as well, didn't it?
It got leaked. I think that my theory is it was a tactical leak.
Well, maybe round one got leaked as well, so they just tried to jump the gun and like, fuck, someone's going to put it out tomorrow morning. No. Let's just pump it out.
My theory was they wanted it to go out next Wednesday, but they scheduled it in the back end of the website because they wanted to take a long weekend. Until Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
And then they fucked up the scheduling and just pumped.
Yep.
Well, the leaked round two is going to be interesting now because they've delayed the full release. It's meant to be tomorrow. It was meant to be on Wednesday, which is tomorrow because we're recording on Tuesday night. They've now pushed it out to Thursday because apparently they, you know, obviously the clubs get it first and a few of them push back.
Yep.
So they went to make, you know, one or two little changes, which caused three or four other little changes, and so they've had to delay it by another week.
Well, the most important part, obviously, is who North playing the Good Friday game.
We're playing everyone, apparently.
I've heard so many fucking different rumours. First thing that came out was we're playing the Saints again, and I'm like, well, you know, whatever. You got to build something, don't you?
Yeah.
And then it's like we're playing Carlton, and then there was a bit of furor about that, saying, you know, oh, it's a Big Four team, you know, they don't deserve. I'm like, well,
is it?
Well, you know. Traditionally.
Yeah, in 1980 it might have been.
Yeah.
But Carlton do have a decent following, but you could argue they don't really have a marquee game.
Oh, they got Thursday night starter.
Know. Yeah, that's about it, really. Whereas other teams have a few more. But with...
And they're Orthodox Christian anyway, so their Easter's a different weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I've always said it always made sense to me, North versus Carlton, for that, because you've got the Royal Women's and Children's in between the two suburbs. Start the a walk from there or something. Get people sponsored as they walk along to the ground or whatever. Just get it involved. And
no one's you walking the streets around that area.
You need a crowd to be safe.
At least you're near the hospital. So
yeah, but then the other one that came up was Essendon. I'm like, they've already got fucking Anzac Eight. Day. Yeah. They've got fucking Dreamtime at the G, whatever other bumfuck nobody thing. And that worst thing, they changed the ends for Etihad. I think that should disqualify him from...
Well, change the ends? Well, they'll stop the locker on the Coleman.
Yeah, yeah. It's really? Lloyd and might be Reynolds.
Did they really?
Yeah, yeah. Only for Essendon.
Coventry and Reynolds, I think.
No, Coventry's always there. It's Lockett and Coventry.
Oh, that's it.
So it's Lloyd and Reynolds, I think, but I can't remember. Yeah. Might be even Lloyd and Hurd. But that's only for Essendon home games. Yeah,
it's still bullshit.
I really don't care who plays, but what they should do is pick two teams and stick with them.
I reckon when we play Collingwood, the punt street end and the cunt end.
Yeah, the punt and the cunt. Just take two teams and make that the rivalry and build it up and give it, you know, 10 years.
Well, I thought North and Western Bulldogs have had some great matches in the last couple of years, including the Good Friday match, which was exciting as balls. And also that one where Benny Brown did that toe poke to Zeebel in the last second and a half.
Yeah.
Fucking does your heart in watching that shit, but it makes good highlights once you know who wins.
You reckon that you go and go, you know what, they had a couple of good games, let's try that next year. But just stick with them. Stick with the Dogs is what they should have done, because they were the first one anyway.
And they've got fuck all else going on in regards to marquee games, don't they?
Well, it's obviously Channel 7 that are pulling the strings on this one. And they have, like, the attendance wasn't great last time, but obviously they weren't happy with the TV ratings either. So that's what's pulling the strings, really.
Well, the other thing, too, that I saw the commentary around it was, why not have an interstate team play? You know, interstate teams don't have marquee games besides their locals. I'm like, well, Port do have the China game. And they got that because they proposed the China game. They put business cases together. They planned it with the Chinese government and everything. So, you know, I think interstate teams deserve marquee games, but they've got to make them happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't just say, oh, you've built that, we want to be part of it. Get fucked.
Yeah. And you're right. You're saying they've got their own showdowns or derbies or whatever. Well, there's two marquee games per year. You know, one home, one away.
Yeah. I can understand fans
saying...
There's
a few teams that have a zero.
I can understand fans saying that's not enough. And that's right. In which case, your club needs to get their finger out their fucking ass. Because you look at... St Kilda tried to do the New Zealand thing. Didn't work.
But they tried it for four or five years.
North tried the Good Friday thing. It's been hit and miss so far. But it's those teams that don't have a captive audience like you do with the interstate teams. And they don't have the high incomes. They have to do the innovation shit. They have to do that or they die.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you start taking it off those teams, there'll be no innovation and every team will just slowly turn into Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even Richmond last year started to try out, you know, some marquee games in September, the finals, and they worked out pretty well. So.
Yeah, they found out that you draw big crowds, but unfortunately, AFL keeps the fucking gate from them. They get to keep it. But, you know, Richmond have been great at it. You know, they said, all right, well, Dreamtime at the G. Essendon started, but Richmond, yeah, we're there.
Yep.
They've turned round one into a marquee game, and now they've turned Anzac Day Eve into a marquee game.
Yeah.
It's just find some place and make it yours. Yeah, that's what you've got to do.
It won't always work. And plenty of teams don't want to invest the hundreds of man hours into trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, North have got the Bulldogs game with Equality or something. I don't know.
It should be on Tight Ass Tuesday.
It ain't working. But St Kilda had that, the Maddie game as well. That's coming along fine.
Well, there you go. There's another one. The Richmond
Tigers
Tigers are in.
Sneaky bastards.
But I don't think the Tigers have organised any of these games.
Just fucking passengers.
No, pretty sure Sheedy was Essendon and Dreamtime.
No, round one versus Carlton. I'm pretty sure Tigers are on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because Kevin Bartlett wants Richmond on top of the ladder after the first game.
But yeah, it's. I think every team deserves a marquee game, but you can't just expect to get
it. You can't just sit back.
Yeah, you can't get given it. Yeah. You got to go out there and do a schmooze.
Make one.
And every team should be able to do that. And look, you can have the fucking Indian Pacific game between West Coast and GWS or some shit. I don't know.
But what they should do is even try and make their own, the showdowns or the derbies into something. Because Port have come out and said, we want a Friday night showdown. I'm like, fair enough.
That's
no worries.
Fine. Yeah.
What they should do is say, we want to play Adelaide in the showdown round one every single year. Let's start our year with round one. And you're going to say, the AFL is going to go, you know what? it's a nice Friday night game, isn't it?
Yep.
And they're going to do something with it. If they say, we want to do this every single year.
Yeah.
I think there's a big case to be made for Clicking Balls marketing consultancy. So AFL teams out there, look, I know you've probably got a decent marketing team, but let's be honest, most of them are a former player's girlfriend.
Mm.
So we'll come on board, you know, for the low, low sum of, let's say $500,000.
We'll take Scott's transport box. Is what we're
doing. Actually, we're doing the North Melbourne thing. $1 million.
Yeah,
we'll sort you out, and you get a massive return on investment.
I'd rather do one of the other teams' things that actually gets the job done. But I am going to have trouble, you know, charging $500,000 for, you know, hour and a half's work. But I'll make it work.
We'll find out.
I'll make it happen.
Oh, that just shows how valuable it is. Though.
I don't want to clear the shit, ruin my selling.
In iTunes vouchers.
We've also had, I think, list lodgement day is today.
Yep.
So the final rounds of delistings and relistings and one-year signings have all happened. There's been a few players that have seen their careers come to an abrupt end or haven't got a new home yet. I think Dan Menzel is one of the most... He'll be the most interesting delisted free agent.
Oh, he'll be picked up, 100%.
There'll be a few clubs that'll want to have a punt on him because, you know, there's all the knocks that maybe he doesn't chase or tackle enough, but he can kick goals.
Well, look, there's plenty of players who do chase and tackle but don't kick goals.
Exactly.
And you look at some guys who've been delisted like Casbolt. Brilliant mark, terrible kick. Menzel's almost as good a mark. Much better kick.
Much better kick. I wouldn't say he's almost as good a mark, but goddamn, he can kick those goals.
The thing is, it's usually Geelong that picks these players up.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, no Geelong players come out and said, you know, thanks for your service. Look forward to playing against you next year. And as far as I know, he hasn't said a farewell either to Geelong. So maybe they're planning on redrafting him in the rookie. I don't know.
They had plenty of chances too.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, the sticking point was he wanted 2 years and Geelong wanted one. So if he goes into the draft and says, my minimum is 2 years, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's going to be ambitious if they've already knocked you back once.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years at 120 grand a year, I mean, you know, that's where he's going.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
But like 1 year for 500, I want two. 2 years for 200 each.
Well, there's benefit in that still. Remember, that's what Travis Cloak did. He was on 800 for 1 year, and he said, let's scratch that. Let's make it 400 for two.
Yeah.
But you get extra, like, AFL Players Association super. For every year you're in the league, you get extra.
Oh, right.
So like another 40 grand or something like that.
Oh, that's what Dale Thomas did as well.
Something like that. He ripped up his contract.
He had Western Bulldogs. Didn't need super. That's his superannuation plan.
Who was a player that played, like, four games in 10 years?
Alex Johnson? There was a Sullivan for Carlton.
I can't remember who it was. It was recently. Like, got delisted like last year or before.
Oh, okay.
Had, like, injuries for ages.
Alex Johnson. Games. Alex Johnson did that.
Was it? I thought it was for Sydney. I thought it was a North player. Anyways. I feel like that's just like maybe
Daniel Wells.
Should be an integrity unit looking at that. It's just scamming free super and, you know, it's not contributing much.
Fair enough. The Boccaccini from Adelaide got delisted by his third club. Kyle Cheney, yeah, Bocker. I don't think he's going to get picked up at 29 for club number four, but
I didn't know that was his nickname. That's clever.
Yeah, fair enough. He's done well for himself though, because he tried to play Keith Backman a lot of the times, not by choice but by necessity.
Yeah,
and he did okay, but he was always just okay everywhere he went.
I feel like there's a lot of players that play out of position because that's what the team needs.
Yeah,
and it kills their careers. It's like in the UFC, when Dana White goes, oh, I need someone to fill in this spot. Someone goes in and gets knocked the fuck out. And all of a sudden, their career's done.
Well,
it's like, I did you a favour and I got fucked over for it.
Michael Bisping made a career out of that, really.
Yep.
Being late call-up. And it worked one time. And you go, well, you know, you're a champion for life, you know?
And, I mean, you got Artem Lobov, who's made a career out of getting knocked out by late call-ups.
It was interesting, that one. I think I texted it to you guys. One of the comments about Artem leading up to the fight said, you know, he is the Mount Everest. Many have tried, only 14 of us succeeded. 15, yeah. But I tell you what, he's a warrior. He keeps going back out there.
He is, yep.
Not many people can throw a standing hammer fist like he does.
Well, that was hilarious.
Surely sometimes you've got to say, am I really doing what's in the best interest for the sport, for the world,
my health,
by signing this bloke? I can't fault his heart.
No.
I think it's a 2-for-1 deal, that one.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit like that. Although Danaher did come out and had a nice defense of him on, on social media.
Oh, Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh, yeah. Anyway, back to the footy delistings. I mean, there's a few others. Will Langford got delisted today as well, which was an interesting one. Because basically he went in, you know, did their exit interviews and that, and he said, look, if I'm not playing for Hawthorn, I don't want to play at all. And they went, we probably haven't got a contract for you. He went, yeah, fair enough. I'll move on to something else. So it looks like he's pulled the pin at 26 or 27, I think he is.
Yep.
70-odd games and a premiership medal, and he's probably going to go make double what he made in footy in the corporate world or something like that.
Yep.
With that
smart move.
Private education. But
his career's peaked. I mean, that's...
2014 September, you're not going
to... He had a good run of games.
He had a brilliant September. You know, not many people can string that many games together.
And he's been celebrating since, and fair play to him. Has done... Not, he hasn't had... too bad a career sense, I'd say. Like, not, it's only because he was so good in that short period of time that you expected more from him.
Exactly.
He went from, holy fuck, where's he been, to journeyman.
Yeah. Yeah. You can never fault him for endeavour.
No.
Execution, yes, but endeavour, no.
But I don't think he ever got to that stage of being utter liability. He was just disappointing because you're the father that... You loved him for what he was, but you were disappointed for what he could have been.
Yeah, he shined brightly and burned out very quickly.
Yeah, and like you said, he's going to go to sleep on a big fucking pit of money. So I don't think the future is going to hold homelessness for him.
No.
No.
And Brendan Whitecross got delisted after, I think, 11 years at Hawthorn, including, you know, back-to-back knee recos in prelim finals. Which meant he saw the three-peat from the stands, which is an interesting way to do it. But yeah. He got his VFL premiership, and he still might have a chance if he goes up north.
Well, he seemed like one of those players where if there was an AFL second grade, he would be great in it. Like, there was a full reserves team.
Yeah.
Because he was too good for VFL, not good enough for AFL. Or not good enough
He's always the 23rd man. Yeah. And in the last sort of 3 or 4 years, they play him when they have to. They go, yeah, we'd rather play a kid, but we'll put you in there. But he was brilliant in the VFL this year. And it's just one of those blokes that does nothing wrong, except got injured at the wrong time, you know.
Hmm.
Robbed him of his peak, really. He had to sit out 3 years.
Hmm.
But that's the way it goes. He walks away with, 11 years at the club and life member and the VFL flag in his last game in the brown and gold. So that's all right.
Yeah, gets to keep all the cups he had in the hospital department. So, you know.
Shit.
I think lots of memories.
Colin Sylvia passed away.
Crash in Mildura, yeah. Poor bastard.
Yeah. Fuck.
He's only pretty young, too. Like
32?
32, yeah.
I forgot ridiculous. How young he was.
Yeah. Yep.
And sure, he made some mistakes in his life, but...
Every kid from Mildura did, let's be honest.
Yeah. But by all accounts, everyone's saying he was turning his life around, and it's just happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, still plenty of love from the Demons fans as well.
So. It was. So that's more of the actual football, if you can call it that. But there's been some other interesting things since we last spoke.
There have.
Shane Mumford, on the eve of making a comeback with GWS, a three-year-old video surfaced.
Yeah.
Of him. And by this time, I think everybody's seen the video. So
yeah.
It's no secret anymore or anything like that. How does it come out 3 years after the fact?
Well, because he dogged his mates and he snorted the pile instead of the line. So there's always been some payback for that.
3 years.
It's like passing the joint to the right. It's not how it goes. It's not the rules.
Well, everyone's seen that video. Like, you can see they've got the little lines racked up and he's gone straight for the...
For the Everest.
He's gone for the storage. You know, the...
Yeah.
Tomorrow is load for everyone. But they were chanting sausages at the time too.
Jesus Christ.
So that's one of those ones where he's just decided to...
He's not a man of moderation, let's face it.
No.
It doesn't matter if it's Coke in the hotel or the sausages at the...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Team barbecue.
I just would hate to run into Shane Mumford on that much coke. Like, fuck.
Jesus Christ.
He was looking glassy.
I reckon he could throw Mitch Duncan out of Etihad Stadium through the roof.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah, run outside and catch him.
run how fast?
It's just the 3 years that I don't get.
Yeah, yeah.
And the weird thing is, too, the timing. It was like, oh, I'm making a comeback. I'm feeling good. Yep, here's this video. Yeah.
Someone's got an axe to grind, don't they?
Ring up Jake Carver. So how do you make an impact when you come back? What's the strategy here?
I do like that when rumours surface that a player's, you know, these videos coming out, and St Kilda fans go, oh, not fucking again. Hanbury, what have you done? But anyway, poor old Mumford. Somebody's got an axe to grind there.
But do you see him making a comeback?
Like, yeah. To be honest, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
GWS were desperate for it.
Didn't they retire because of, like, concern to the brain trauma, injury, concussion, things like that?
Not his brain trauma.
No.
Other players.
That would explain a lot of things.
I think ankle was his main thing.
But he took a year off, felt himself a bit fit. You know, and if he's feeling good, getting back in there, he's shorter.
I was going to say, he's still a monster.
Yeah.
He's a built unit too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then in the space of about 24 hours after that, I don't know how much allegedly we have to put towards this, but allegedly some other text messages pop up.
Well, we say allegedly, but there's screen captures with names, dates, phone numbers going around.
We know that it's somebody named Jack Watts. We can't prove which Jack Watts it is, but let's run with it.
Yeah, yeah.
With a very pissed off missus.
And apparently it's gone from, you know, a star that never saw the heights that he should to everyone's going, you know what, this cunt's all right.
Well,
he just wants to do racks off tits.
Yeah. What a mate, though. Like, Mumford fucks up. And he's like, shit, I've got a comeback coming up. You know, this could put me in jeopardy.
I could do this better.
There's no trade news now that's done. It's going to be in the news all the fucking time. Jeez, it's going to be hard. And then Jack Watts is going, oh, my fucking coke, mate. I am going to tear this shit up.
I'd love to see, you know, round one, Jack's made his way back into the seniors and the whole front row behind the goals is in there, you know, their swimming goggles and floaties.
And then the fake barbecue apron tits.
We're just here to go swimming, mate. Make us so happy.
For anyone that hasn't actually read the text, you know, all three of you, he managed to put his iMessage on his laptop. Yeah. You know, as you do, sometimes with Apple, it often...
Never do that with Apple, it often auto-installs.
And so
that's why you don't buy Apple. Fuck them.
You've got your iTunes, it syncs with iMessage, all that shit. The thing is, you send a text, and it shows up on your Mac laptop. His missus is doing uni work, which in the screen grabs, you can see Uni Melbourne in the background.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, these things pop up about some duck saying, hey, you free at the moment? We've got a special on double vibe shows that you might be interested in. He's like, oh, yeah, meet you at Brighton later, love. While he's, you know, in Melbourne for the footy and his missus is back in Adelaide. So she was a bit unimpressed with that. So she decided to go through the history. And oh, fuck.
You found a gold mine.
Yeah. There was lots of different women. Many of them saying, you know, can I come see you tonight? And he's like, yeah, missus is asleep. Don't knock at the door. Come around the back. So, you know, don't cheat on your missus is generally a good idea, but not while she's in the house asleep is also a great idea, and not when it's your next door neighbour and you've left evidence on the computer that you share with her. Like, I think he made about 7 different levels of mistake with just that one text stream alone.
Did you do anything right?
Well, he got laid.
He did some racks off tits.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, too. He had weird messages saying, I just love big tits and swimming.
Good on him.
Does Mrs. like, not allow him to do racks off her tits?
I'm assuming that's how they met.
I want to see Dr. Phil come into this situation.
Do you think you could do some racks off their tits?
You got to understand, you're going to do racks off your girlfriend's titties.
Well, I think Dr. Phil's been in a bit of shit himself, so maybe he'll take notes.
Has he now?
Well, yeah, he's got a friend of some staff members or something like that.
Oh, he got me too, did he?
Yeah.
It was only a matter of time for him.
Exactly.
Well, I remember he broke up with his missus for infidelity. That's all I remember. And to be honest, that's all I cared about.
Yeah.
But really, if Dr. Phil...
I didn't.
If there was a message saying, Dr. Phil's sex tape here, you are not clicking that link.
No, give
it
like a,
no.
Like a walrus fucking bloody beanpole or something, I don't know. It would not be pretty. It'd be very hard to rub one out.
But with Jack, doesn't it just stink of somebody that lived, you know, the private school, very secluded life, and then all of a sudden got freedom and money and went, what can I do?
Yeah,
and especially when he got out of Melbourne.
Oh, well.
Both the town and the team.
He's enjoying himself, poor lad. Didn't need it blasted across the world, but I do think that most of the footy going public would go, nah, mate, you're all right.
he would have lost, what, maybe 200 grand a year?
Through coke.
No, in the contract value from going Melbourne to Adelaide.
Oh, I don't know if it was that much to begin with.
Well, let's say it's 200. He's going to make that back in merch. Oh, just T-shirts with, I love swimming and big tits. Like, fuck, it's going to sell itself.
There's your 200 grand right there.
Jesus, mate, maybe I'll sell them. Just lie. I've worked for you.
Yeah, well. But there's a couple of loose units for us, which leads us into what we like to do in the off-season.
I think we should call it use lunits.
Use lunits. Yeah. That rolls off the tongue easier for some reason. those loose units, last year we went through a couple during the off-season, you know, in between when the season ended and before the draft, so we can't do the wrap-ups and previews for the next year yet. So we thought this off-season we'll try and revisit a few loose units. Josh, you got a quick one that'll get this off the ground.
Well, I figure, you know, if you're going to start big, and there aren't many athletes who have succeeded at the top level that are bigger than John Daly.
Stewie Jew, but let's go.
Yeah.
No, I think Daly probably haven't covered him.
He would, in height, because Daly's probably 6'3 or something like that.
He's a big fucking lad.
He's a big lad.
But like Mumford, loves his coat. But anyway...
if Happy Gilmore had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
And several other substances. But we'll start with him. So 1966, he's born in Carmichael, California. Age 5, he moved in with his family to Dardanelle, Arkansas. California to Arkansas. Imagine that.
You've got a chip on your shoulder there.
I think that'll affect
him. I thought he said he moved in with his family, like straight out of birth. He was like, fend for yourself.
But just like... school was pretty hard. Like, any time any kid stood out, you got hammered.
And especially if you stand out of golf.
No, but imagine, like, Arkansas. If there's a bumfuck USA, Arkansas will be the capital area for that.
Is that where Clinton's from?
Yeah, Little Rock.
Yeah. So you're coming from California. You know, oh, here's the big city kid. Oh, here he comes down to Arkansas. Squeal like a pig, bitch. You know, he is not going to be enjoying... grade 6, mainly because the other...
mainly because it was 15.
That means he's 5, so he's in kindy, and there's bloody 12-year-olds in there. It's going to be tough for him. But anyway, you know, by the time he's 13, he's decided, I'll crack this golf thing. You know, I don't know, but I imagine he probably learned it by hitting balls in a neighbor's fucking windows or some shit.
Yeah, I think it was he was in wrestling or something, and he was unfit, so the coach suggested he do golf, so we go for a walk. I think it was something like that.
Maybe 20. I don't know.
Might have been his golfing coach or his wrestling coach suggested he start smoking. We get into that?
Get in that.
Yeah.
But in 79, you know, his family's in Virginia. A 13-year-old, he won the men's club championship at his home course, Lake of the Woods.
13.
Wow.
In Fredericksburg. And he's smashing blokes who are pros.
I got to say, the competition might not be, you know, world class. However, he's still only 13 playing against men.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, I wonder which one was like onto it early. You see him like hitting the driving range, just sharking, cleaning a bathroom.
I don't know if there's any truth to the rumor. He was six pack deep in there too, but he did manage to make a new rule: no kids allowed in the tournament. The adults got pissed off. Which, you know, to be fair, I don't blame him. If you're the one making the rules, fuck you. When he was a high school junior living in Missouri, so he's moved around a fair fucking bit.
So this is state number 4.
He won the school state championship and the Missouri State Amateur in the same year. So he's playing for the school team and also playing in the amateurs, like in the open-age amateurs. Doing really well.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
He got a half scholarship to the University of Arkansas. The only thing he did by halves, I'll have you fucking
know. Say, a half scholarship to the University of Arkansas.
So he's heading back to Arkansas.
Is that worth $5,000 or...?
I think he took that just because he wanted to go back to Arkansas and fuck some people up, because now he's 6'3" and he's at a... He arrives at the camp as a full fighting weight of 235 pounds.
It was a full scholarship, but it only lasts halfway. Just to better run up, so.
It was a pound-for-pound scholarship. But 235 pounds, what's that, about 105 kilo?
105, 106.
Round about there. So, you know, decent unit. Oh. And his coach said, you ought to shed some pounds. So he went on a diet of popcorn and Jack Daniels.
Yeah, yeah.
With no mixer, though. No mixer. So, you know, there was no...
No empty calories.
Yeah, no empty calories in the Coke. Well,
I was going to say...
This Coke is, Cola.
I thought he might have hit the stripper diet, but this is the stripper punter diet. That's what the crowd drink and eat.
Yeah. While he's at University of Arkansas, he played golf for the school, but decided, fuck this, I'm leaving before completing the degree. He went for a professional in 87, and his first career victory came that year in the Missouri Open. So he's shoved back to Missouri just to show off.
Yeah.
So he's won the amateur, gone to uni and just gone, ah, fuck this. I've banged all the chicks here. I'm going to fuck off. Back to Missouri. Wins the Open there as a pro. Whoop. 2 years later, he decided to start doing the PGA Tour, and he did all the possible tours. So it included the 89 US Open and the Chattanooga Classic. I just like saying the word Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
In the US Open, he made his first cut in the major tournament and finished tied for 69th, which isn't too fucking bad for a young lad.
That's pretty decent.
Done pretty well,
I guess. Yeah.
And you know, 69.
won the PGA Championship in 91. Now, I don't know the golfing hierarchy, but that's not fucking bad for a young bloke either.
It's
not.
Was he? 66?
Yeah. But the thing with that is...
26-ish?
Yeah, 25, 26.
The thing with that is he didn't have the tournament standing to actually get into it. In the PGA Championship. So the reason he got in was because Nick Price dropped out of the tournament because his wife has given birth. 8 other golfers had other shit on and weren't able to make it to Crooked Stick Golf Club.
So basically he had nothing else better to do.
Well, he was the... No one knew who the fuck he was. And there was so many people ahead of him and he just happened to be there. He's like the... when Benny Graham played in the UK. Because he was the only one with a passport.
Got a 10-day contract.
Yeah, he just happened to be able to drive there. He was completely unknown, and the announcers had to look him up through the golfing...
almanac?
Yeah, whatever they had back before internet, to find out who the fuck he was. He finished with 69, 67, 69, 71, and got a 3-stroke victory.
Jesus.
Which is it's ridiculous.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Won Rookie of the Year in the same year because...
Because he won a tournament, yeah.
92 rolled round, he won the BC Open with a 6-stroke lead, which is pretty massive. In the same year, at the British Open, he started to get a bit of a hype around him. So the media started taking notice of this, you know, big lad, looked like Baby Huey. And they said, you know, what's your secret? What's your strategy in golf? You know, expecting the cerebral mentality.
No, I reckon we can guess this. smack it hard.
I just hit it as hard as I can. If I find the ball, I hit it again.
Yep. Grip it and rip it.
Pretty. I think he probably invented the Happy Gilmore shot. But, anyway. 93, things started to get good to him. And things started to get bad to him as well. Didn't have any PGA wins. Team with Fred Couples and Stuart Payne to win the European Alfred Dunhill Cup, which... Him winning a cup named after a pack of fags? I think it was all down.
It was destiny.
But the thing is, that took place at St. Andrews in Fife, Scotland, which home of golf, as they all say. Yeah. I assume it was invented there or something, but whatever.
Literally that, yes.
Yeah.
We'll run with that. He won that in 95. The side of the Open in 95. He won that with Couples. But in 95, playing the British Open, but the same thing. They asked him, you know, would you join St. Andrews? And he's like, nah, if they've got all those rules and shit, I'm not interested. I don't want to get in there if they've got all those rules and shit. And he actually said, and shit, well, on live.
His Dr. Carl Schurz wouldn't get him in there.
No. But this was also the first year he ended up in AA. As a little side note, whenever he plays now, he's got, he keeps his AA coins with him. He has got over 300 years of sobriety.
Right. Who'd you beat up?
Because all his fans say he's an inspiration and give him their AA coins. So he uses them to mark balls.
Yeah, fair enough. Why not?
He keeps them all in his pockets so they jiggle around. But hey, at least it's a use. The other thing, but the amazing thing is, phenomenally talented. Like, he managed to be the only person to hit a 630-yard par 5 17th hole at Balthus Roll. in two shots. Never been done before or since.
Is that an eagle?
It's an albatross. Albatross. I think.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. And it's one of those
two
things where...
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, 630-yard par 5 in two shots.
Yeah, it's not a bad effort at all.
No.
I mean...
suspiciously good.
He's one of those guys that always won the...
longest drive.
Longest drive and longest first shot cumulative. Like right. Because they got stats for everything now. Yeah, but even so, he's
The exotic bets is what got me into watching golf from working in casinos late at night.
Yeah, the
only thing we could be interested in watching.
The exotics in those, yeah.
As you were.
He's been in a few magazines by now. Mainly, they've been good, but oftentimes they start to touch on his Alcoholics Anonymous and everything. He said, with the tokens that he uses to mark the balls, he says, it reminds me that I need to keep myself on an even keel right before he goes off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, so far, back in 95, so far it's worked. Instead of having me go real high and real low, I just try and stay a nice medium buzzed. Which, it's a win.
Because it was not unheard of to see him on the practice range, hitting balls, warming up before a game with the durry hanging out of his mouth.
I think mentioned on the course, he'd throw the course.
More than once. A professional athlete.
Having a dart.
I wonder if him and Shane Warner played around together.
I would not be surprised at all.
Do you reckon they get out of the golf cart?
They've
play polo golf, you reckon?
I would bet every dollar I ever touch that he has played at least one round of polo golf.
Yeah, I could see it happening.
Actually, with the caveat that the round may not have finished.
Yeah, definitely. He would have crashed it. He would have rolled it at some stage.
He might have gone 19th hole. But yeah, up to 97. He had a great opening round at the PGA Championship Winged Foot, smashing it. But unfortunately, then things started to go a bit wayward. Actually, look, when you're playing golf, which, you know, might have to wind back the memory a little bit.
Definitely.
And a couple of shots start going off. You know, what's the first thing you do? You change the club, yeah?
Okay, yep.
Yeah, you're thinking, all right, my driver's not working. Maybe I'll go to the 1 wood or the 2 wood or 3 wood or whatever.
See if anyone looked at and saw that shot first. And just sort of slightly drop one of those balls you got in your pocket.
Well, John Daly's the same, except he decided, fuck this driver, did a big wind up and threw it into the fucking lake.
Yeah.
Which, for a pro golfer, is kind of frowned upon and got him in a bit of trouble with the PGA tournament. But there's tons of stories about this sort of shit that he did. For one, he had a $10 million endorsement that he signed back in 91. They dropped him off the 97 Players Championship, where he got on a drinking spree that gave way to an alleged hotel trashing incident. So he decided that the TV needed to be in the car park.
Oh, it can happen like that.
From a second-story window.
Yeah, well, like they say, fuck you money. It's no good unless you say fuck you.
But he withdrew from the tournament after that, which, you know, as you do when the cops are involved, and later checked into rehab again.
Yeah.
Not for the first, not for the last.
No.
Well, no.
When you look at the years that he was active and doing this kind of stuff, he must have been some of the inspiration for Happy Gilmore.
He'd have to be, yeah.
Well, they say he was the inspiration for Tin Cup.
That's the classic. Dumb. That is a terrible fucking movie, that one.
But the thing was that they thought he was inspiration so much that they started chanting Tin Cup at him at several tournaments. Particularly around, I think it was around 98 that it was released and they were talking about it. Early 2000s.
Yep.
But he had lap band surgery as well to try and drop the weight. And he managed to do it. He dropped 115 pounds.
Jeez.
Before putting it all back on again. Which, you know, when you're living a life of excess like he, that can happen. He had a few traditions around that sort of thing. Mainly when the Masters happened, which, you know, the auspicious and the highlight of the season, a lot of them would try and get hotel rooms, but sometimes, you know, you're playing rounds of golf, it could be quite hard when you're playing round after round after round. So a lot of them would get sort of RVs and portable homes kind of thing. And especially when you got that much money, you get quite a nice one. And so he decided to do that too, because he liked walking home about as much as he liked shooting himself in the face. Whereas some of the guys would park them in an exclusive private area on the course, he parked his at Hooters.
Of course. Again, save the walker.
Well, the thing was, too, that he also brought a certain clientele to the golf course, much like Happy Gilmore. And that clientele would also head to Hooters after the tournament.
Of course they did.
After the day's play. Sometimes before it had even finished, much like Daly himself. And then Daly decided, well, fuck it, let's team up. So he started selling his merch out of Hooters.
Yeah, good work.
And that also started another tradition of, rather than signing shirts and things, he'd sign tits. Much like Jack Watts, he just loved big tits.
Not so much fan on the swimming, though.
Well, he was quite often legless, but yeah, maybe he liked a dip. I don't know. So, yeah, he had 5 victories in the PGA Tour. Back in 94, Daly said that was the first title he ever won sober.
I'd call into question that.
Yeah.
Not that it was his first, but that he was sober.
I want to see how many he lost sober. Let's really balance out these stats.
All of them.
But the amazing thing is, too, though, how talented he actually was. Like, when he went into the 95 British Open at St. Andrews, they had him at 66-1. But he fucking loved St. Andrews. He mainly because of so many par fives and how hard the course was if you tried to play on the fairway.
Yeah.
He just kicked the ball over the top of it. So you have a dog leg instead of deciding to, you know, land on the fairway again to go around the two-space corner, you know, the parabolica, if you like. Yeah. He decided, fuck this, just whack over the trees.
As the crow flies.
Exactly. And, you know, decided to have a fair old crack at it and, yeah, managed to do it while inhaling the Otis Spukenmeyer chip muffins. All the better to contact the sugar cravings he induced by withdrawal from alcohol for a week.
Fair enough, too.
So he went from Jack Daniels to these chocolate chip muffins.
Got
to
keep your energy levels up. You know, it's a tough game, golf.
But, yeah, and that was the one where he said, I ain't joining St. Andrews if there's rules and crap. I hate them rules and crap.
And fair enough.
Actually, he said shit, but, you know, we're a family podcast.
I'm guessing he was never invited.
Anyway, I kind of fear that. He never really pretended to be perfect, and he wasn't the most patient of blokes either. He had a short fuse bit back in 99 at Pinehurst. He hit a putt from behind the 8th green, and the ball trundled back to him. So he decided, well, fuck this. Putted again, trundles back again. And while it's still rolling, he just took a big fucking swing. Knocked it, over the fence, kind of into someone's backyard. And the PGA decided that's not quite right. So 2 straight penalty, got an 11 on the hole. Less than happy with that one. He had another meltdown in 2000, another US Open. This time at Pebble Beach, he dumped 3 balls in the ocean and one in some bloke's backyard to make 14 on a par 5 18th hole.
Jesus.
He withdrew with an 83. So he hit 14 shots on that and hit an 83.
You say 14. I like to think 14 not out. You know, it's just building an innings.
But had he got a 4, he would have been leading the tournament.
Yeah, but he got a 14.
But that just shows how close he was to that genius and failure line. Also, Aussie PGA in 2002, he had a second round issue when the putter didn't really do what he wanted on the 18th green. And you might notice the problem with the 18th that he's having, mainly because he wasn't too shy of having a couple of nips on the course. And by the time he got the 18th, a couple had turned into a couple more.
Yes, and you're within eyesight of the bar.
Yeah. So the putter wasn't quite working for him and ended up in a tree and then fell into a pond.
To be fair, I've seen putters do that.
Yeah, by itself, apparently. The funny thing is, he got DQ'd, but not for that. That's because he didn't sign the scorecard. Because, apparently he did.
He missed.
Well, he kind of did, but there was just like an X, and they said that wasn't good enough.
I like to think that his putter in the pond now is almost like Excalibur, where if you can pull it out of there, then you're like king of the course or something.
The lady of the lake. Take it back.
But as with all appetites, he loved a gamble too.
Who would have thought?
So one time, he second placed at the WGC, got $750,000, went to Vegas where he dumped all of it. He lost $1.65 million, most of it on the slots.
Jesus.
On the slots!
Exactly. If you go into game, why go there? Here's the weird part, right? I know Vegas, you can set your odds on anything. He lost $600,000 on the slots in 30 minutes.
Hang on. He lost $600,000 on the slots. Are you sure that's not a spelling mistake?
I hope it wasn't the slots, because at least that's something.
Well, I hope he literally just lost it. It's like, fuck, where's the money gone? Shit. Like, how do you feed that much money into a poker machine?
We'll get to that.
Cool.
During 04, the Target World Challenge, Daly's just completed the Wednesday Pro-Am with some friends, and he's having a beer, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
And this is when Tiger was pre-knocking up a whole bunch of chicks.
Yeah.
He's at his peak of his powers. And so he sees Tiger Woods walk in wearing his full gym gear, because he's going to work out like he always does. And Daly says to Tiger, "Tiger, come have a beer with us, mate." he says, "Man," but you know, I'll Aussie fine, because I think he's an adopted Aussie, just based on his
girth. He qualifies.
And Woods is like, no, I can't do that. That's my Tiger Woods.
Cause George Bush.
Okay, keep going.
We're over that. Daly's like, "Man, you don't need to work out. You're the best in the world. You need to come have a drink with us." And then Wood said, "If I had your talent, I'd be doing the same thing you're doing." Which you can take that one of two ways, which is what I like about it. You can either say, "If I had complete lack of talent, I'd be getting pissed as well." Or, "If I had your natural ability, I'd be able to drink and still have a lifestyle." I think it's kind of more the latter.
I think so too.
Otherwise, it's just trash talk far beyond what I think Tiger Woods is capable of. Yeah.
Tiger wishes he threw his clubs into the pond. You know, a fucked up car.
And there's also all the other bits. Like in 2008, Daly was playing a casual round, just, you know. But you can't have a casual round when you're a pro. There's always someone with a camera and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he decided the golf spikes were hurting his feet a bit, so he just took them off. And then it was quite a warm day, so he took his shirt off. And then he decided to take his pants off too. Played around in his jocks.
Because his balls are hot.
Balls are hot. Yeah.
Beast Daly. he did get suspended for that one in Australia, not signing the card. But he also, in Australia, in 2008, saw one of the punters with a camera. Like one of those nice DSLRs that were just coming out at the time.
Yeah.
Grabbed it off him, smashed against the tree and told him to fuck off. The thing was, he wasn't actually penalised because tournament organisers actually had a rule where they weren't allowed to bring cameras onto the grounds.
Yeah, right.
So he was just enforcing that rule.
Yeah, he's done so well.
He's trying to cash another check. Of
course, Marshall. I got a feeling for those tournaments as well, he was paid to come out to play. So he's one of those first prize was $200,000 and his appearance fee was $300,000. You know, that kind of deal. Yeah.
Which is pretty common, really.
Yeah, it happens.
It's very common, yeah.
The Greg Norman style deal.
Tiger Woods came out. That's literally the deal he had.
Yeah.
A couple of blondes involved in that one, I think. But
Rachel, you could tell, blonde, brunette. Got done at Crown Tower, like I say, actually. Yeah, I was there.
That was the time where it all came out.
Times. Yeah. I was supposed to deal with him, but then it happened and he had to go.
Oh, what a shame.
So it was your fault.
Well, I mean,
if you had a major, he stayed there.
Well, I was trying to get Rachel into my hotel room, but he's... you know.
But same year in 08, he decided, fuck it. I got away with playing no shirt before. He had a crack at it at Murder Rock Golf and Country Club, which was they'd actually named the course after him. Which
Murder Rock.
From Murder Rock to John Daly's Murder Rock.
Oh right.
Oh okay.
All right. I thought like his nickname was Murder Rock or something. Yeah. Shit. He skipped past that story. He
got straight to the hip hop.
But he's done the big country. He's the local TV crew is watching him, and so he decided to get the gut out and just wave it at them.
Doing the truffle shuffle.
Yeah. No shoes, no shirt, and he got called out by the head of the PGA. And when he got that call to report, his response was apparently, "I don't give a fuck." Yeah. Which is his response to a lot of shit, to be honest.
I was going
to
say, your sponsors know what they're signing up for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in 08, again, he was in Hooters at Salem, North Carolina, which, you know, that's where you're going to find him if you're looking for him. But he decided to get a bit too into the beers. Ended up passed out, completely arsehole drunk, and the cops had to turn up. And they took a mugshot of him, where he's not looking so great. But as again, his response was, "I don't give a fuck."
Yeah.
He played a 2013 round for charity in a pink tutu, which apparently the PGA took a dim view of as a professional golfer, but again
well, it's John Daly.
I don't give a fuck. Every once in a while, too, the story comes out that he's actually died.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Which, it's one of those ones where if you're writing for golf, you've got his obituary on, like,
it's ready to go.
It's set.
Yeah.
Just fill in the dates and which Hooters it was at.
Pretty much. But his nicknames, you were talking before about Murder Rock, but he's actually got Wild Thing, which I still think that's just pissed off Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen's nickname.
Yeah, I think he started that in Major League.
Great movie.
And yep. Long John, which I reckon he probably made that one himself.
No, that's the one I remember. It was always Long John, wasn't it? Because he's obviously murders the ball.
Yeah.
Long John Daly. He had a story about he won $55,000 at the casino one time, which it's a good day. Even if you're pulling in $1 million fees or whatever, $55,000 at a casino, you're walking out with more money than you walked in with for a start.
Yeah, well, as you know, Brenton, a lot of people that win $55,000 at a casino, it only takes them $100,000 to do it.
Exactly.
Usually. Yep. But anyway, yes, go on.
But he's up. The problem is he's told the missus earlier that, I'll be there soon. I'll be there soon. I'll be there soon. Yeah, I'm just leaving. I'll be there in a minute. Just leaving. She gets the shits and ends up picking him up from the casino. I'm at the front. Come out now. He's $55,000 up. He's like, all right, fuck it. You know, it's a good day. I was aiming for the cool million, but I tragically got pulled in short.
Lived to fight another day.
Yeah. But he gets in the car. And look, you know, I know it's a stereotype that when you're drunk and it's late night and you said you'd be home 5 hours earlier.
And you're driving.
That the wife who's just driven to pick you up in a 90 or whatever, she might be a little upset. I think it's fair to say, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She went to town on him, decided to give him a couple of quick punches, and he took it because, you know, he's pissed and he's up, so he's like, can we stop Macca's on the way home? She's like, yeah, we're on board. But she was so upset with him, she kept reminding him how upset he was and that he'd spent all that time and, you know, he thought because he made $55,000 out of it that it was okay.
Yep.
And she's like, I don't care about the money. So he's like, fuck it. Winds window down, $55,000 out the window.
Oh.
He's like, you don't care about it? Do you care about it now? Strange enough, she did.
Yeah.
Quite upset about it, by all accounts.
They'd just be honest with you. You know, I mean, these things wouldn't happen.
Yeah. She's asking for it, really, wasn't she?
But then she's like, go get it. And he's like, fuck you, you go get it. He's like, if you want that money, you can go find it. Let me tell you something. You don't have a job. You're not working. I'm supporting you. I'm paying the bills. Now, I don't know what happened after that, but he's still alive. So he is. Long John might not be just for the golfing, because if you can say that and still live to see morning, you've done fucking well.
Well, it was a rookie mistake by his missus anyway. You get the silent treatment on the ride home. Yeah. Like, I ain't mad. Nope. I've cooked you dinner, and then you rip into him in the house.
In 2013, there was a funny one that happened too. A BBC reporter mistakenly swapped his name for openly gay British Olympic diver Tom Daly, which.
It can happen.
It seems like...
John Daly, Tom Daly.
They're two common names, whatever. And all of a sudden, everyone's just saying, well, John Daly's gay? And there's about 2,000 former Hooters waitresses who are like, no. What?
This does not add up at all.
So he actually had to put hashtag, I'm not gay. And he wrote on Twitter, not coming out of the closet because I haven't been in one. And he said, besides, with the wardrobe I have, it'd be tough to get into those clubs. But yeah, his other favourite trick was getting a 16-ounce cans of Coors Light, and I'm assuming they sponsored him because it was always Coors Light,
yeah.
And using it as a tea, and still out-driving anyone in the thing. That was his bet. It was one of those... what was the bloke you were talking about played ping pong with a fry pan and shit?
Amarillo Slim?
Amarillo Slim.
Yeah, that was his Amarillo Slim bet.
Yep.
It was like, you can drive whatever you like with whatever you like. I'll use this old fucking stick and a Coors Light can and outdrive you. And he would, because he was a fucking monster. Which, I've never hit a ball off a beer can, but I imagine it's not easy.
No. I have trouble hitting one off the ground, so...
Well, this is true. When they asked him, has he ever played while drunk? he was a little reticent to comment, but he said... I never had any alcohol on the golf course that I remember.
It's one of those technically correct. Yes.
Although I do remember one time in the LA Open, it was so slow, and I'd played the back nine first. I think I'm two or three over, so, you know, not having a great round. I went into the locker room and down like five beers, and after that I shot 4 under on the front nine. That's the only time I knew I ever drank during a round and played great. The rest of them, I sort of gave up.
Reminds me of I think it was an NBA player who failed the drug policy or whatever it was for marijuana, yeah. Which, you know, they've since got rid of. But it was something like, I knew I wasn't meant to smoke, but I got high and then forgot I wasn't meant to get high. It was one of those guys.
I remember that. But he's always one that's willing to sort of have a look around the places that he visits.
Yeah.
So we go to South Africa during 2014 and, strangely enough, ends up face-to-face with a spitting cobra.
Jesus Christ.
Which, I didn't even know cobras were in South Africa.
I don't know enough.
In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not. So, for whatever reason, he's had one in the room he's been in, like in the safari-style hotel.
Okay.
Right.
He actually whacked it with a putter, which has been the most he's used the putter. Probably not the first animal he's hit with it, though, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a spitting cobra in your hotel, I reckon it's fair enough.
It's fair play.
Yeah.
There was also another time when there was in 2014 at the Humana Challenge. To get a par 3 hole in one on the 7th hole, you could win a $60,000 Hyundai Equus.
Oh, shit. Which, Hyundai have $60,000 cars.
Yeah, exactly. That was a surprising part for me, and that's US. But anyway, you know, you win a free car. It's pretty awesome. But then they realised it came off a mulligan. Now, I always thought a mulligan was when you called it, but apparently not. Like, apparently the mulligan can happen because your tee was like a tiny bit forward or the crowd wasn't quiet. It's one of those ones where, you know, like in tennis, when the umps call in quiet please and the player serves and they're like, no, I said quiet please.
Let's rerun that one. Yeah,
exactly that. So the tournament referee has gone, no. They weren't ready.
Yep.
As in, you weren't ready, so I'm taking that ace off you. And he had to reshoot and didn't get the ace.
Wow. I'm surprised that official's still standing.
But how much would that suck?
Well, I feel like it should be like when you get a free kick, but they play on a kick goal.
You know what? Advantage. Pay advantage.
Yeah. Like, one of the most recent ones, though, about him, he had a collapsed lung in the middle of a tournament, which, you know, can happen, and he does like a smoke. But his comment was, I only smoke 2 packs a day, not 3, so I'll be all right. And that's kind of the epitome of old mate John Daly. And the funniest part is, he's still alive and he's still a very, very good golfer.
Yeah, for now. I mean, on both of those counts.
But the thing is, as he's getting older, he's getting looser.
Yeah, of course he is, because now that's what makes him his money. He's not winning.
And all his kids are old enough now, they don't give a fuck either. Yeah. So, but I'm saying, when he lost weight, the biggest problem was he used to rest his hands on his hips when he'd putt.
Yeah,
but he lost that weight, so it fucked up his putting game.
it ruined him. I remember darts players saying, you know, there was a couple of them who were big boys, and they said, yeah, but if I lose weight, it takes me balance off, and I need to keep constant. If I put on weight, the same thing happens, but I just need to keep this constant 18 stone or whatever it is.
I remember someone saying the same as a darts player with the pint. I said the pint would be like a counterbalance when they had it in their left hand, was shooting with the right.
Yeah, that was a long time.
That's what he told his missus.
They actually, they've banned drinking in darts tournaments on TV because of not the 9 o'clock news, which is a sketch show that was on. And they did a piss take where it was the bloke lining up for darts and just taking a shot. And then lines up for a dart, half a pint. And lines up for a dart, double vodka. And they go, 54 milligrams of alcohol. And they had banned it nearly straight after that. But yeah, I would not be surprised if John Daly could play some darts too.
Well, you spend enough time in pubs, surely.
Why not? All right, that's our first loose unit of this off season. I'm sure we'll have a few more. And next week we'll have some more about the fixture, I'm sure, when it comes out.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Peace.
Good luck.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.